The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
And good morning to you. Welcome to The Tubridy Show, but without The Tubridy. Oliver Callan here, standing in for the next 2 days with you. The text is 51551, ryan@rte.ie. It's Monday, the 3rd of February. So if you follow the old primary school moon chorey calendar, we're at the beginning of spring, I think, because February 1st, St. Bridget, the patron saint of bog rushes bent into the shape of a cross, used to mean, certainly when I was in school, the 1st of spring. But if you're in the meteorological world, the seasons dictate that we're still in winter, spring being March, April and May. But if you use the astronomical season, then spring begins this year on the 19th of March, because that's when the equinox occurs, equal day and night, which gives us license at this time of the year to say that there's a grand stretch in the evenings. But it's definitely snowdrop weather out there. Also today is actually St. Blaise's Day. I don't know if people might recall getting the their throats blessed on this very day. Certainly in school it was obligatory back in my day. And those of us in the business, of course, who need our voices and our throats for work. There's a bit of superstition, a bit of religion there. I wouldn't entirely rule it out, and some people would have got it done yesterday. So anyway, happy St. Blaise's Day, one of the superpower saints, of course, who can fix anything wrong with your throat, or you can have a vitamin C in a glass or whatever you like. Now, there is no Callan's Kicks this Friday on account of the moratorium, as we call it, on the general election, which we were barely allowed to mention. It's kind of an unnecessarily lofty term for like a blackout, which only affects TV and radio. But we're all looking forward to it when there's no talk of a general election. Although it seems a little bit dated now, considering all the newspapers can still talk about it and their websites and on social media, where you can still go on. I think 2 o'clock on Friday is when the moratorium kicks in. So that's usually the day before voting, which is why Callan's Kicks is not going to happen. We will be back the following week on Valentine's Day. But in the meantime, don't worry. You can still carry on about the general election on social media, where you can share all your misinformed opinions. Now, a great weekend for sport. Rugby, of course, kicking off. Interesting to see Ireland winning a rugby match again. It's, you know, the World Cup is a distant and long forgotten memory. And of course, the English getting beaten. I'm more fascinated by this story of the new coach, Andy Farrell. He's only 44 years of age, but his son, Owen Farrell, is the England captain. This is not news to many of you, but it's kind of fascinating because Owen Farrell is 28, which means that Andy Farrell became a father at the age of just 16, and Owen now has a child. So Andy, at the age of 44, is a grandfather, and that will be an interesting match when it comes in the Six Nations, Ireland versus England. And of course, Monaghan beating Tyrone. I think Malachy Clerkin in the Irish Times in the sports section today talks about the locals up in Castleblaney talking about Tyrone's first defeat in Europe. So there's a Brexit joke straight into the GA. Mind you, the league is quite interesting for, you know, in the last couple of years it's become more of a high octane bit of showbiz around it. Lots of people going to the matches. A bit of a grudge match there. Wexford, Clare, the two banished Doherty, kind of locking horns, but I think Clare won that one in the end. Now, the BAFTAs are in all the papers today, and I'm a big film fan. I get semi-excited about the Oscars, but the BAFTAs is just one of those award ceremonies that is very hard to get terribly excited about. But I mean, it was interesting because Graham Norton was hosting it, and you had Saoirse Ronan being nominated. She didn't win. She lost to Renee Zellweger, new face, for Judy. She won, and it looks like she's going to win everything, which is very sad. But, you know, Saoirse Ronan, she's only 25 or something? So they love it. They're just going to make her wait, aren't they? They're going to make her wait and wait and wait. But it was an eco-friendly BAFTAs, apparently, so it was all about the green. And I'm looking at the Irish Sun, and it says Kate Middleton was the queen of the green as she arrived at last night's BAFTAs in a recycled dress. And I mean, I thought recycled dress meant that she was kind of wearing a dress made out of trash, you know, recycled rubbish. And when I was looking at it, it kind of looks like a dress made out of old rubbish. But recycled in Kate Middleton's world is just something she wore 80 years ago, apparently, is an Alexander McQueen gown. So all the gowns are there. You can feast your eyes on them. in all the papers. And it kind of does look like it looks like sort of quality street wrappers stuck onto an old wedding dress is what Kate Middleton's dress looks like to me. But what do I know? But anyway, the most exciting thing about awards for me are those monologues. I think the last time I was on with Ricky Gervais was hosting the Golden Globes, and he has a good old battering. But this is kind of the BAFTAs. So it's the BBC, you know, toned down, mild mannered bashing. But Graham Norton, he gave it his best shot.
Don't be too concerned tonight because you're in safe hands. I'm not going to be mean to anyone because you might know in my other job, I'm a chat show host, which means apparently I have never seen a film I didn't really enjoy. I loved Cats. No, I did. Not even joking. This year, BAFTA have asked us to make sustainable fashion choices. Fun fact, this jacket is older than Florence Pugh. Hey, 2019, though, what a year in film. I think it'll be remembered as the year when white men finally broke through. Yeah, it's a bit of chat about the old white male privilege, and you can sort of see why. I mean, 11 nominations for Joker, which is essentially the story of a white man who makes himself even whiter.
I love it how they're all clapping just for Joker, and then he kind of hits them with a little sucker punch about the film. Of course, it's been criticised for being the sort of the favourite film of the alt-right and so on. Anyway, best film last night at the BAFTAs, no surprise, 1917. Outstanding British film as well. What was the point in having outstanding British film if you give best film to the same damn thing? I like the film. I mean, it's enjoyable action war movie, but it's just the kind of jingoism and the little well-done old boys, you know, horrors of war, but nothing really about the kind of imbalance of all the Germans were nasty, horrible cretins who even cut down cherry blossoms, whereas the Brits are wonderful chaps altogether. So just a bit of a damp squib to me, but there is really action-packed, thrilling sequences in it. Jojo Rabbit, a film I haven't seen, but won an award. I'm really looking forward to seeing that one. And what else won? Well, Joaquin Phoenix are higher than Joker. But Best Supporting Actor went to Brad Pitt. Maybe he was the greenest of all of the celebrities and all of the actors nominated because he didn't even bother showing up. Margot Robbie accepted the award. And here's what she said.
Brad couldn't be here tonight due to family obligations, so he asked me to read his response for him. He starts by saying, "Hey, Britain, heard you just became single. Welcome to the club." Wishing you the best with the divorce settlement, blah, blah, blah. He then says, thank you to the Academy for this extreme honour that he is going to name this Harry because he is really excited about bringing it back to the States with him.
Yes, and there are photographs of William and Kate looking kind of fed up with the jokes at the family's expense, according to the Irish Sun. And in the Telegraph, you have William, the Duke of Cambridge, hitting out at the lack of diversity. You heard Graham Norton talking about it there. Someone texts in to remind me, don't forget Irish woman Jessie Buckley, also nominated for Wild Rose, an extraordinary actress. Yes, there are going to be lots of nominations there. I think she was singing, was she singing at the BAFTAs as well last night? So huge talent, but no awards for them, sadly. So it went to Renée Zellweger. And she's probably going to win the Oscar, even though she has won already. And I'm just a little bit meh about and I haven't heard anyone say, go see Judy. Amazing. Sense of Groundhog Day is the way it's described in the Telegraph. And it was actually Groundhog Day yesterday. And the journal.ie tells us that the famous groundhog in Pennsylvania has declared that spring will be early. It's a certainty if you go by this furry, weird groundhog creature that pops its head out. But it does remind us of that amazing Bill Murray film. And as well as kind of remind us of those sad, silly traditions they have in America, you know, days like or things like spring break and pancakes for breakfast and the Electoral College. Ridiculous, ridiculous traditions wouldn't catch on anywhere else. The Make Dishwashers Great Again movement isn't as crazy as it sounds. According to the Daily Telegraph, it tells us Donald Trump is furious about dishwashers. At a rally last month, he rallied against worthless new models that give you so little water that they need to be used 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times to achieve a proper clean. How Donald Trump is an expert in dishwashers, I have no idea. He also criticised underpowered showers, which he said only permitted drip, 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 instead of the full-throated blast of old because of inbuilt water restrictions. Well, it is true. We've all had showers where, in order to feel any water at all, you kind of have to rub yourself against the wall where all the water is trickling down. And then you go to a nice hotel and it has a rainfall shower, and the entire room is just raining on you. And you go, why can't we have this at home? But I think it's to do with the environment. And that's really what Donald Trump is doing. He doesn't really care about how dishwashers are made. He's kind of saying it's the eco warriors have destroyed dishwashers, because a recent survey has found that slow cycle times is one of the top complaints among US dishwasher owners, because there's... When you put the eco setting in, apparently it does a good job, but it takes so long that it's only usable if it's set to run overnight. Not many of us are that organised, are we? I mean, the thing that kind of would excite me about dishwashers is whether you're a forks down or forks upward kind of person in the tray, you know, when you're sticking in. Big row in our house. There's only two of us, but we are split down the middle, and it's whoever gets there first, and sometimes not even who gets there first. And some forks are pointing upwards, some are pointing downwards, and there are rows and lots of unhappiness. I'm forks down, because if you have knives and stuff sticking up, then you're putting your hand in to empty it, and it's dangerous. And I'm not into, oh, they don't wash properly. If you stack them in properly and you don't have them all lying on top of each other and you rinse any excess food off, that's the, oh, but my other complaint about dishwashers, why haven't we invented dishwashers where wine glasses fit in? They don't fit in the top. And then you're closing it and it's bashing to get that unsatisfactory rattle thing. And sharp knives do not belong in the dishwasher. Something to do with oxidation, and they get blunt and so on. So always hand wash those is my message. Now, something completely different. The Super Bowl was last night, and if you are a big Yank cultural watcher, Groundhog Day and all of that, then Super Bowl is very big in your house. I can tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers in the fourth quarter to win the game. That's the way they always talk about Super Bowl. But I do enjoy the halftime, not the halftime show, but the ads. The ads or the commercials around the Super Bowl are quite funny, and you can watch them on the YouTube later on. I'll get down that YouTube hole later on. But the halftime show is usually the bit that kind of fascinates us on this side of the water. And it was Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo and Shakira. But it was Jennifer Lopez's daughter, Emmy, who stole the show. She was singing Let's Get Loud. She's only 11 years old, and she was the one who was most talked about. So let's have a little listen to what that sounded like. So that was J-Lo's daughter, Em, Let's Get Loud. It sounded very kind of high school musical to my ears. Definitely not lip-synced at all. Also, another misuse of Born in the USA, I think, in there. You know, Bruce Springsteen's song has always been used as a sort of jingoistic tune, sort of semi-anthem for the Americans, even though the lyrics are all about, you know, putting... going over to kill the yellow man, as the lyrics say. It's all about the Vietnam War, and it's anything but. It's supposed to be kind of a satirical take on Born in the USA. But anyway, it doesn't stop the millennials and zennials enjoying that one. Two sleep-related stories from you from her.ie. The duvet that has a hot and cold setting so you can avoid nightly fights with your partner, if you're that way intended. This is a duvet that has two different heat settings, so you and your partner will never fight over the covers again. Now, it's not quite heat settings as in you, it's a smart duvet so that... tech companies can collect even more data on us. This is more to do, I think, from what I can gather, one side of the duvet is a different tog to the other one. So Nanu is the company's hot and not duvet from Nanu. It's going to put an end to the tog tiffs everywhere. And they've got a kind of an easy to understand system. So 13.5 tog is toasty. 10.5 is cozy. I would put 10.5 as absolutely roasting. Extra cool 4.5 tog. I had one of those nights last night where I just had to kick it off for a good 20 minutes to cool down before I was able to get to sleep. But not so many. I'm not so many rows over that one. But it does affect people, and I'm not organised enough, or we're not organised enough in our house to have a different tog for each. I suppose different time of the year, whatever. And Horlicks, apparently, or nocturnal teas, are apparently on their way back. Sales are on the way back, thanks to millennials. Sales of the malt drink are up. Many people swear by a cup of before bed. The soporific effect may have less to do with what's in the mug and more to do with the routine of making. So if you're into the routine of making your chamomile tea or whatever cup of tea, I have a normal cup of tea an hour before bed. It seems to do the job for me. Herbal teas, pillow sprays, non-medical sleep aids, ubiquitous in the modern era. But does a hot drink before bed actually work to aid sleep? Yes, says the sleep expert Neil Stanley in The Guardian. There is a wind down in a mug, he says. This is how I imagine a sleep expert who speaks to The Guardian sounds like. You've got to make the drink. You've got to wait for it to cool down. Nobody's ever hoovered or argued with a partner while drinking Horlicks. Horlicks, I'm not familiar with. That's a very Britishy thing, but I see what they're going for. It's kind of, you know, hot chocolate would be more of our style. Chamomile tea, and someone told me once to put a little nip of brandy in the chamomile tea. You'll sleep like the groundhog who only appears once a year. But anyway, we're going to have a bit of music to cheer ourselves up. This is Whitney Houston, the late Whitney Houston, by way of Kygo. DJ Kygo's mix of Whitney Houston and Higher Love there. And I'm told Jack upstairs tells me that's Tropical House is the mode of music. So Tropical House, put that down on your post-it and learn it off. The text is 51551. David says, forks up, knives down. What are you, a monster? Now, that's different rules for different types of cutlery. Everything goes down, face down, and everyone will be happy. And I mean, it's like a power hose in there, so it's going to clean it. On the whole, when is spring begin? Autumn is August and September. Winter is October, November, December, January, February. Spring is March, April, May, June, July 1st to the 30th. And summer is July 31st from 9 o'clock in the morning until it rains at 4:30 in the afternoon. Not confusing at all. Yes, indeed. Lots more to come. Let's have a few ads.